Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. We are having a special show all about money, as all these music cues should certainly... Blah, 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 blah. Try that again. As all these music cues should certainly tip you off to. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in savings. So, Jim, I want to read a little bit, actually paraphrase a little bit from my column, Money, because I would like us to talk about how we handle our kids. I was blessed with parents who taught me about money from an early age. In fact, I don't remember not being aware of money. In no way was it treated in an onerous way, but rather something our family was cautious, prudent, and smart about. My family was decidedly middle class, as my dad was a hardworking blue-collar worker, having never graduated from high school. But my earliest memory was a simple mathematics one in which I was always given the bill at a restaurant and entrusted by my parents – I'm talking about when I was 8, 9, 10 years old – with the task of checking that the addition was correct. On occasion, I found an error in the total, and my parents would let me point it out nicely to the server. And in every case, the server would apologize profusely and exclaim admiration at my mathematical skill at such a tender young age. I would be beaming, so I received not only praise from a stranger, but the lesson of saving money in an honest manner by just watching a bill, checking a bill. I also earned some respect from my parents. These are the sort of lessons that were imbued in me to a degree that they became second nature for the rest of my life. All money I received from birthdays and other occasions were always distributed between my savings account, of which I was given access to watch it grow very young, and a certain amount that I was allowed to spend on things I wanted for myself. So I learned to save and spend wisely. These lessons I imparted to my boys in a similar manner. When they were still in their single-digit years, we tried a very interesting summer spending plan. Both boys had thankfully become avid readers, and a favorite outing was going to our local bookstore, and I would often buy them books on these outings. But I felt at a certain age that they were old enough to begin to learn about money, savings, and impatience, or delayed gratification, a topic we covered in an earlier show this year. I allocated, therefore, a book allowance. It works simply, and I offer this suggestion to all my parent listeners. Each boy received a weekly book allowance of, let's say, I don't remember the number, $10 a week. They could save it for 2 to 3 weeks and buy, for example, a $25.95 book, or they could buy a book under $10 each week. They had to learn to factor in the cost of tax as well. So it became an interesting summer for them. My older son had more patience because he was older. He had 3 more years on his younger brother. And on one occasion, he wanted a particular book that cost nearly $40. He had to wait 4 weeks for that book, which is an eternity for a 12-year-old or whatever he was at the time. And he got that book after the number of weeks, while his younger brother bought a book every week because he couldn't wait. So it was interesting. And I think that these are invaluable lessons that we can impart on our kids. And Jim, I'd like your thoughts on families and kids and money after my little soliloquy there.
Well, look, lessons, there's no question that it is – I mean our school system woefully ill prepares, if you will, children to deal with the topic of money. I mean, it used to be in the ancient
– that's a shock.
In the ancient times, there was home ec that at least they'd teach a child about balancing a checkbook along with cooking a chicken. And nowadays, literally, you can go to medical school and never receive a one class or even one day worth of classes about how to run a medical practice. So you can go all
Nor
the
do
way-
they receive any education in how to handle patients, how to deal with people.
Right. And so it's a parent's responsibility still to this day to educate their children. And so you offered up a couple of great examples in your column. You just covered one of them. Use real life situations as opportunities to educate your children about money and things like math at the same time. You can teach your children multiplication by showing them how to factor out a tip on a bill, just like your parents had you doing addition. But it's a parent's responsibility to teach their children these lessons.
And don't be surprised. Your kids can learn this quick and easy. Don't wait till it's too late.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember back when I was in my first couple years in the investment industry, I was a stockbroker back then, that I would routinely have clients would call me up and ask to buy one share of Disney and ask to receive the stock certificate in the name of their children. And they did this to help teach their children. It wasn't for the $40 investment. It was to help teach their children about what a stock was, about what a company was, what they did. Now, 20 some odd years later, not only could you just show them the certificate and talk to them about it, but then you can go on to Google and you can research that, and you could research the finances of this company, and you could teach your children these invaluable tools that you wouldn't have been able to do back a generation ago. And in and of itself, just teaching them research actually has the benefit, and that is not even the money-related part of it. So money can really be a fulcrum into all these different areas.
My grandfather gave me gold coins when I was a kid. That I've saved ever since. And that was his idea of a special gift. And another grandfather gave me the stock certificates physically, just literally as you said. And I've now pulled out some of that gold, and I look at it without necessarily trying to find out what it's worth, but I know given what has happened to gold in the 40-plus years since I was given those, that those coins are worth a significant amount more than a Hot Wheels toy I might have been given that is long forgotten and long gone. So I did appreciate the coin at the time. I would have maybe preferred the next Hot Wheel or game, but it was a lesson.
Right.
And I did get toys and games, but I also got lessons in savings. And that's what you're basically talking about here for parents.
In that case, absolutely. But at the same time, I mean, you start your column by talking about how children see everything. You may not actually be directly giving them a lesson in a purposeful way, but you're giving them lessons all the time. They're watching and observing your behavior as a parent with money, with budgeting, and they're learning and they're soaking that up like an absolute sponge.
Let me give you a very simple example. In my family, whenever we eat out, we do not order drinks. I tell my boys, we're not going to spend $2.50 for you to have a Coke. It's not, first of all, it's not healthy. You don't need it. And my wife and I don't have after dinner coffee and all that other stuff because those things add up. And if you do it all the time, you're spending a lot more of that budget you talked about earlier just because you feel like having every kid should have a Coke. And my kids now look at other families when they're invited that they all have drinks and they think of them as irresponsible and being a little wasteful. So those lessons can be learned very early.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You can teach lessons of integrity. I mean, if you add up the check, like you said, and you find out that somebody didn't charge you for a Coke, what kind of message would it send to your child if you called the waiter or waitress over and said, excuse me, you forgot to charge me for the Coke?
It's a beautiful lesson, and we've done that.
Right.
And the look of shock on the waiter's face that somebody would actually say, I have to pay more money, is the invaluable lesson. It's a great example.
And by the way, for those parents that may think they might be getting away with a freebie here and there, you're also teaching a lesson, and that would have the inverse impact. You may see it as a very small item in that case, but your child can extrapolate that out into much bigger lessons in life.
You betcha. You betcha. Well, we are near the end of this segment. We will have some closing remarks from Jim Scheinberg of North Pier Fiduciary Management when we come back. It is time for another break. This is the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. Stay tuned.